Welcome to Bud's Beer Blurb, the podcast. You can catch all of our episodes on our YouTube channel. Just search at Bud's Beer Blurb and we'll pop right up. Oh, and do me a favor. Would you hit that subscribe button while you're there, please? Thank you very much. We can also be heard on RSS.com, and they have a list of other podcast sites that we're on. Just pick the one you like best. You can find us on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. Just do that whole search at Bud's Beer Blurb again. And be sure to give us a follow while you're there. All right, let's get to the show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 24 of the podcast. This time, we're going to be bringing you three gentlemen who created the company Drink Mechanics. These are canned cocktails. I know it's not beer, but their story is fascinating. Also going to be bringing you to New England Brewing Company's soft opening party. They bought the Stony Creek building, and the transformation is amazing. All that's coming up right after this. In the studio today, we have the creators of Drink Mechanics. We have Aaron, Taylor, and Dylan. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
And I'll admit that this is the second time they've been here, and we've had some technical difficulties, so hopefully we'll actually get through it this time. Because this is the second time today, too. I'll be totally honest. Guys, I appreciate you coming out again, I really want to hear about what you're doing. So, tell me about Drink Mechanics. You guys are bartenders?
Yeah, that's kind of the origin of it all. We were out-of-work bartenders during COVID, and cocktail delivery suddenly became legal in May 20th, 2020, and I called Taylor immediately, as this is our loophole to break into this game that we had had our eye on since 2018 when they really started exploding, but as little guys, it's kind of tough to break into. But suddenly, we didn't need the normal amount of startup capital and all the red tape to go through. Oh, no, we can get a catering license, an ice cream truck, a little hand seamer.
The ice cream truck.
And just start delivering to people's houses who are quarantined. And that's how we first launched it.
Really? And that was legal?
It was legal. I mean, to my understanding is it's still legal today.
Wow.
Some of the specifics changed. When it first stopped, you know, there was, you have to serve it with food. They started to dial in, it has to be, hot food that has originated at the kitchen of where, you know, they made it harder over time. But you can still go to any kind of restaurant and get a beverage to go. You just have to put it in a sealed container.
Yeah. It's really up to the individual business if they want to do that. I mean, they have to be prepared to put that in some sort of sealed container that they can give to the guests.
Right. Okay. So, bartenders, were you trained somewhere? Did you go to school for it, or were you self-taught?
I grew up in the business. My parents owned restaurants since I was a little kid.
Okay.
So I've always worked in restaurants since I was 15, and I kind of gravitated towards the bar early.
Okay.
I worked in all kinds of different bars over the years, but at some point I went through some training and got in with a group that was doing really high-end mixology type stuff.
Yeah.
And you know, learn from there. I think everyone has their own kind of arc, but that was mine.
Yeah. Same. 10 years I've been in it. Let's see. Met Aaron probably halfway through that. And here we are.
And you?
Yeah, actually, I mean, I met Taylor around that same time that, you know, he's talking about that deeper training. That was when we were both living in Los Angeles. And we just had the great fortune of sort of like being in the downstream of the milk and honey group out of New York. Some of the guys that are looked at as sort of one of the major catalysts for the big sort of craft cocktail kind of renaissance that started in the kind of the late 90s, early 2000s. And it just so happened we were in LA when some of those guys came out to LA to do their thing and spread that and spread the knowledge. And we're, you know, I'm proud to say I'm part of that family tree now.
Okay.
That's really where all those roots kind of come from, and then spent a lot of years out in the West Coast and then here as well, doing a lot of consulting work and bar programs and menu design. So we've probably got, we've got thousands of cocktails in our arsenal to potentially pull from.
Yeah.
Okay, but right at the moment you have four.
We have four cans on the market.
Yeah, four cans on the market.
Soon to be 1,000.
Soon to be 1,000.
All right, pick one and tell me about it.
So, my favorite's the Love It When You Call Me Big Papaya, which is tiki cocktail, rum-based. Okay. I ran a rum bar back in the day for a while, so I have an affinity for rum, love it. But it's okay. Playing a Mai Tai instead of orgeat and curacao, which are the classic ingredients in a Mai Tai. Mm-hmm. We kind of pivoted with a little bit of papaya and coconut.
Nice.
So it's, you know,
sounds interesting.
A nice kind of layered rum cocktail that kind of fits in that style. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm a beer guy and bourbon. I love bourbon also. So, I mean, the cocktails is not something I really have delved into much. I did taste your bourbon one, and I did like that one, though. Bourbon.
Yeah.
But give me another one.
Christopher Oaxacan. So, mezcal.
What's up with that?
Mezcal, which obviously we love as bartenders. Mm-hmm. You know, it's sort of a... sort of a sacrosanct spirit in our field, but we use it with passion fruit and clementine and just a little bit of touch of habanero, just to do that sort of smoky, spicy, tropical margarita. So we love that one.
I mean, does the habanero stand out?
It's, you know, it has more in the past. You'll taste it for sure.
You backed off on it.
We tried to get the flavor. You know, so that everybody can enjoy it.
Gotcha. Yeah, we want it to overpower. It's kind of one of those things, like, I want somebody that normally purchases mild salsa to still be able to taste this cocktail and enjoy it.
Get the flavor, but not the heat.
Right. Yeah, we try to capture all those flavors of habanero. Bourbon legend, as you mentioned, is especially, like, you know, you talk about being a beer drinker, somebody that likes bourbon. This cocktail, I think, is that segue for that person exactly. It's also our top seller right now. But you've got bourbon, apple cider, fresh ginger, lemon.
Wow.
A little bit of fig. You don't really taste the fig, but you taste if there's no fig it loses a certain depth in the whole flavor profile. So we included that in there. You don't actually. Yeah, we want to. Everything is about balance, complexity.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted to make craftier cocktails than the seltzers that were out there, the lemonades, the vodka soda splash of juices, that kind of thing. Something more like you'd actually get at one of our bars.
Taylor, what's the other one? The last one.
Strawberry Fields.
Strawberry Fields.
It's vodka Collins of sorts. Lemon, vodka, strawberry, rhubarb, and a little bit of sage on the finish. Gives it kind of a herbaceous complexity.
Okay. And do you have any on the drawing board right at the moment?
Are always
not. Yeah, I think that, I mean, beyond, past the drawing board, right? I mean, we've got a few. I think already loaded in the chamber. You know, when we first start.
Okay, those are the ones. Yeah. What do you got that's ready to go?
Apricot with your pants down.
Okay.
That's going to be gin, apricot, white vermouth, lemon, carbonated. That one was when we came out with, we developed when we first started, and we were going around with the ice cream truck doing deliveries or doing events with that. So it was actually, that launch was a great way to kind of market test a lot of different recipes for a lot of various reasons, logistics and just from a marketing standpoint. We felt like starting with four flavors was the right way to go with the opportunity to introduce more as we grow the thing.
Yeah, overhead. You gotta watch what's going on, you know. But if you get yourselves out there in that market like that, people like you. Yeah, they'll be waiting for the next ones.
No, we had another actually one that was on the market that we produced called the Spa Water, another vodka cocktail.
Spa Water?
Spa Water. Well, imagine going into a spa. You see the cucumber, lemon, water there.
With Christopher Walken?
But imagine vodka being it. So
that would be painful.
That was a popular one, though. It was a little polarized. It had zero sugar, so there was
Was our sugar-free option. Yeah. We pulled that one off because we weren't fully kind of happy with the final product there. We wanted to we took that one back to kind of rework.
Okay.
To make it more, have a little more sweetness and acidity to it, while still staying true to that sugar-free aspect.
Cool.
And that's what we've been developing on with that one.
But it will be back, promise.
It will be back.
Fans, because we did have fans of that drink.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You're in distro at the moment. You're going to package stores, things like that.
Yeah.
Are you also in venues? I mean, do you have cans in venues? Do you still do the blogs at all or anything like that?
Some. Yeah, well, I mean, the breweries would be a great example of locations for that on-premise consumption.
Yep.
You know, anywhere that, if a place doesn't already have their own cocktail program. Maybe they don't have the bar staff that knows how to execute all that stuff, which is most breweries in most my experience, and not just breweries either. But your larger venues that need to want to produce quality at a higher volume at a faster, more efficient pace, we do well with those. But I think that, I mean, for the most part, we're definitely in the liquor stores. You know, we created something with the idea like we want the customer to be able to have this convenience of this really delicious craft cocktail that they can take home and enjoy at their own convenience and not have to necessarily worry about going to a bar. They can take it anywhere. So it really kind of fits more coming from the liquor store side of things.
Well, my co-host, you met him last time they were here, Nick, he actually got you guys into his package store.
That's amazing. We love that.
Yeah. He was so excited to be able to do that too.
And that's a great way to support. We tell that to people all the time. Anytime we're doing events, tastings, and people are like, oh, where can we buy this? Where can we get it? You know, there is a map on our website at drinkmechanics.com. But beyond that, it's like if you have a store that you normally go to, if they don't already carry Drink Mechanics, ask for us by name. I don't know a single store owner that's going to pass up a sale opportunity.
Right.
They're going to bring it in. That becomes a new account for us. Best way you could support a local business.
You got this business going. It's running, correct? Do you still work on the side?
We sure do.
We all work more than full time.
Okay, and you're all bartenders still?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we all work part-time behind very different bars. That's supplemental income. We all have to still have to pay bills.
Sure.
And we grew this business from basically nothing. So rather than taking that money off the top to pay ourselves, we want to be able to reinvest that back into the company and keep growing it. So in order to do that, we also have to work other jobs. Now, that's not a... definitely not something we want to do in perpetuity. It's not sustainable in the long run. I think we'd all get pretty burnt out. But I think we're getting closer and closer to that point where this can be our only thing.
So how many hours a week do you put into Drink Mechanics, do you think?
Oh, geez.
I'm sure it's... varies.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, is it's something you're not going to the office and clocking in. We're on the phone with each other. We're, you know, constantly in our own right thinking about how we can do our part to grow the business any way we can. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I mean, when am I not thinking about it?
There's always something to do.
I don't have a time clock that I punch for myself or I don't get paid, but
we are about to do a big push with our distributor, Northeast Beverage, where in fact, like,
oh,
for example,
can.
Yeah.
Oh,
for cool. example, like next week, all three of us, 3 days in a row, are going to be riding along with a different sales rep. So 9 sales reps in total over the course of those 3 days, just hitting as many accounts as we can on that day, to introduce have that introduction made with that account and Drink Mechanics.
Do a lot of video work on that one. Trust me. And put it on your social media and stuff. That's cool. So this may sound like a really weird question, but what's your favorite one out of the four that you have?
Well, I mean, I think the rum one is my favorite.
Because you're into
I'm a rum guy. Yeah, I like rum. I like Jamaican rums. I like funky, weird rums. Mm-hmm. And we got a nice blend there. So I would say the rum one's my favorite.
The mezcal.
I had a feeling you were gonna say that too, because last time you said mezcal, I was like, he's really emphasizing mezcal. But no, that makes sense too. So
Aaron, you know, they're all our babies, right? So it's tough to pick a favorite sometimes, but I think probably for me it's also the rum. That I find that's the one I tend to drink the most.
That's your palate.
And the other would be probably Bourbon Legend that I go to.
Like, those Strawberry Fields are super crisp, though. I'll tell you what.
All the girlfriends, you ask them, it's the Strawberry Fields, hands down.
Really? That I can believe, too. All right, well, you guys, you brought some with you, correct?
We did.
Sure did.
Can we jump into tasting?
Absolutely.
That sounds like a great idea.
I'm parched. Right? You're parched? All right. We'll be right back. All right. We are back. With Drink Mechanics, you guys you have brought treats.
You betcha.
All right, so Aaron, what do you got first?
We'll take you through the line here. I'd like to start off with kind of like the lightest one. Strawberry Fields, mm-hmm. one of our top sellers for sure. You get a strawberry rhubarb vodka Collins with sage.
With sage.
Wow. We were R&Ding, we kind of actually tasted through a lot of different potential herbs to try here. Mm-hmm. And I thought for sure basil, mint, one of the more obvious choices like that was going to be the winner for us. But after tasting through them all, mm-hmm. it ended up being the sage. The sage has this great kind of earthy quality to it.
Yes.
Which we found really balances those bright fruits Ooh. Of the strawberry and the rhubarb. Vodka, lemon, carbonation, mm-hmm. Rounding it all out.
So what am I gonna experience first? What's the predominant? The strawberry?
You definitely get the strawberry and rhubarb right up front, right mm-hmm. away. That's hitting your palate. The lemon essence kind of more mid palate, and then it really finished. The sage to me is what finishes strong in yeah. the end, and that's where that like earthiness is the last thing you're tasting, rather than like just like sweet fruits.
Right, because I'm getting like a tropical, so I'm guessing that's mm-hmm. the strawberry and the citrus mixed together. Mm-hmm. It smells good.
Huh? That rhubarb is nice and tart, kind of bright.
Yeah, I think it's also yeah. worth pointing out just across, down the line, all the cocktails. You know, to that goal of creating something more like a cocktail you'd get at one of our bars, they're a little stronger than most of your cans. They're that you see out there. They're 10% alcohol. It's all real fruit, nothing artificial, all gluten free, no added sugars, just what's coming naturally from those fruit sources. Mm-hmm. That's all yours. I got another case in the car. If you want to talk about it?
Oh man, no, that's a lot of flavor.
Yeah,
I mean, it just your eyes are practically watering. It's so much flavor. Wow,
thank you.
That in a good way.
Yeah,
but wow, that's delicious.
And we designed the flavor profiles to be enjoyable both directly from the can. You pull this ice cold can out of the cooler; it's ready to go. But if I'm at home and I have all easy access to this stuff, I'm pouring it over ice and,
sure.
and enjoying it that way. Yeah. So it really works either way.
Absolutely. Cool. Well, let's move on to the
Strawberry
next
one. Fields.
Dylan, what do we got?
Yeah, so next one up. This one is my favorite, as I was saying earlier. So this is the Christopher Oaxacan, okay? Oaxacan in a reference to Oaxaca, Mexico, one of the states where they make mezcal. Mm-hmm. So we paired this with passion fruit, clementine, and habanero, just for a little touch of
habanero. That's really interesting, because there's quite a few beers out there that will put a little jalapeno in it or something, and most of the time I find it's just too much. It's way too much. So I'm very curious about
this. That's oftentimes a problem, and it's tough with chili peppers. I think to sometimes have a consistent spice level. Every pepper is going to be spicier or less spicier than the last. So finding that consistent level, but oftentimes just spicy drinks, it overpowers everything else.
What am I catching first?
Definitely on the nose, you're getting vegetal and capsaicin from that, from that habanero, right?
But what's going to hit my tongue first?
When you know, I would say you're going to get the brightness of the passion fruit, and then that smokiness of the mezcal is going to be up front, and then you're going to get the balance of the clementine. Really
cool. All right, well, let's give it a taste.
With the heat on the back end.
Oh my god, yeah. But it's not like overpowering.
It's a slow build.
I see what you're saying. Yeah. It's sitting on the
just you wait.
Well, let's not pour it on the computer.
I think it does build a little bit with every sip. One of the things that I love about habanero peppers in general, and something that I think gets overlooked because they're so spicy, mm-hmm. is that they have a lot of natural tropical fruit flavor to them. Mm. Habaneros do, you know, that pineapple and passion fruit flavor type of direction. It just gets lost on the immense heat that hits you if you try to take a bite of habanero. So spreading, really stretching that out and watering it down in the cocktail.
Yeah.
it's actually boosting those tropical fruit notes that are that we've already added, like with the passion fruit.
Mm. It definitely lends itself to pairing with mezcal.
That's nice. Well, I like that though. Mm, that's cool.
I will say, I think we're all in agreement on this. I think on the next run, which we're going to be doing in the next 30 days, mm-hmm. we want to kick the habanero up maybe about 10% from where it's at right now.
Okay.
The old iterations, I think, were too spicy, and we, I think, maybe overcorrected just a little bit. So where this is at, I'd love to see that maybe 10% more habanero.
Okay. So, Taylor, what do we got?
Next, we have Love It When You Call Me Big Papaya.
Papaya.
This is a tiki-style cocktail. So it's a plain of Mai Tai.
Okay.
A little bit of lime, a little bit of papaya, some coconut, and a blend of rums. And a little bit of bitters as well, kind of that classic tiki vein.
Really?
Yeah.
In a can.
Yeah, it's wild.
I'm just going to reach in and grab it, okay?
There we go.
Please.
All right, so what am I catching in the nose?
So you're going to get those tropical fruit flavors on your nose. You're going to get the fruitiness kind of coming off.
I get all papaya and coconut.
Yeah. Definitely.
And the rum. You're smelling that French rum. And
I'm not a rum guy. So, I mean, I can smell alcohol, but I wouldn't identify it as rum. My palate's not.
I think once you taste it, you're going to get there initially. You're going to get, your kind of citrus that moves into your tropical notes. You're going to get a little bit of coconut in the back end. And then the rum, kind of like a good rum cocktail, is going to kind of leave your palate kind of wanting more. And that's going to be your kind of, the end flavor.
That's interesting.
And the bitters, I think I get all in the finish. And the bitters are really help, I think, kind of dry out the finish. So it's not just a fruit bomb. You know, unfortunately, even though this is both probably mine and Taylor's favorite, it's our slowest seller.
Hmm.
And I think for the most part, that's because people see tropical fruits and rum, and they think it's going to be this over sugary, sweet, fructose nightmare that they had on vacation.
That's what I was expecting,
like really sugary rum punch kind of thing. And it's not that at all. And the bitters really are the Angostura bitters have a lot of baking spices.
Yep.
And really serve to kind of dry out the palate in the finish. So that's where all that's coming from, are those bitters at the end.
That's nice. It's sweet, but it has a tang to it. And then it has that warmth.
So it evolves. Finish, you know what I mean? It's neat. One note.
Yeah. Cool.
Which is what we've strived for in all these cocktails.
Yeah.
You get a lot out there and you see the one note. This is blackberry or this is whatever. We wanted to create something a little more complex.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Four more cups. And the fourth one.
Yes. So probably our top seller. That we introduced, was it last year?
No, this is the newest
23. Most recent cocktail, yeah.
Bourbon Legend. So this one's fun because it's also extra local. We actually bought the bourbon barrels from Litchfield Distillery.
Oh, cool. I like those guys.
They're great.
Yeah, good guys.
Really great. It was a really kind of a happy circumstance. We were looking, originally kind of sourcing bourbon from the same factory in the Midwest that everybody sources from.
Okay.
Unless they're one of the four major distilleries that make their own bourbon. Mm-hmm. Everybody's sourcing from MGP in Indiana. Mm-hmm. But we looked at kind of crunched the numbers on it. It's like, oh wait, after freight and shipping this from Indiana, we can actually get a better bourbon from a local producer at a lower cost to ourselves because it's right down the road.
Right.
And so that's the direction we went. So these are
keeping it local is good too.
Absolutely, any opportunity we can to support another local business, we want to be able to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. I believe in that totally. I'd rather shop at a little tiny hardware store than to go to that big box store. So I commend you on that. That's awesome. All right. So what am I catching?
You got the bourbon in there again. Ooh. Apple cider, ginger.
I got lemon,
and a little bit of fig that really just adds to the depth of the whole thing. You don't really taste the fig so much, but you would taste if it wasn't there because there'd be something's missing. It's a little thin. But essentially what you have here is a whiskey apple cider mule.
It's interesting because normally you can pick out one by one, but this is blended so evenly. It's all kind of at once. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's not, oh, it's bourbon. Oh, it's it's...
Yeah,
it's balanced. It's balanced.
I definitely get mostly apple on the nose, And then for me, on the palate, it's a lot of the ginger and apple together. The bourbon, man. With the bourbon right behind it, supporting it.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny, you'll get, when we're, a lot of tastings that we'll do and when we're pouring samples for people, I get a lot of people say, I'm not really a bourbon person. I don't really like whiskey, this and that. It's like, well, just give it a try. It ends up being their favorite one.
Yeah.
You know, because it's not punching you in the face with the whiskey.
Right. Right.
It's a little more subtle. These are, you know, I say these drinks are all kind of sneaky strong. They are 10% alcohol. It's two servings in that can, but it's not overpowering from an ethanol, alcohol, you know, type of flavor to it.
They're all 10%.
They're all 10% down the line.
Yeah.
Wow.
And all 12 ounces. I mean, if you go to a cocktail bar,
yeah,
you know, you're lucky to get a 6-ounce drink. You
right.
know what I mean? So
it's that's true. Crazy. Now, a 4-pack of your product.
Yep.
What does it go for in the package stores?
Well,
$15.
The MSRP 15? For vodka and rum is $13.99. MSRP for the bourbon and mezcal is what, probably $15.99. It's a couple bucks higher.
Yeah. We can't set this price. We can't tell the stores what to charge, and so
right.
it varies a little bit from one store sure. to the next.
Sure.
But we set the prices, the wholesale price, based on the wholesale prices being offered by some of the bigger national brands. I don't know if I can. I probably won't say their names.
No, don't.
but the idea being like we want it to be price wise, competitive, and in line with the biggest national brands out there.
That's awesome.
And so that's where these are at.
Yeah, but we can't control, you know, individual liquor stores have their own formulas, and there's guys out there where I see like, oh, really, you're going to sell at that price, but hey, you know, they got to make a buck.
Yeah. What they're doing. Can't tell them you know? What to do.
It's like you hear the
media. I can only subtly be like, well, you know, so-and-so down the street selling it for $12.99.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Well, I mean,
they're moving like hotcakes.
Well, it's like, according to the media, retail, Arizona Iced Tea still sells their big tall boy cans for 99 cents. But I've been, the local place I buy from, they're like $1.27.
So, you live in West Hartford, so that's your, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
West Hartford. That's a West Hartford
cat's out of the bag on that one.
So, apricot with your pants down?
Apricot with your pants down.
In the R&D phase, right?
It's in the R&D phase.
It's done. I'm so curious.
I love apricot.
It's done.
It's done. We have to figure out, I think,
London dry
sourcing
gin.
The vermouth.
Gin? I love bourbon. That's my go-to. But I like gin if it's a good martini and a, you know, quality gin. And I like a quality tequila. It's got to be quality. I need no Jose.
Well, whatever. You know. The downshift is also in the works.
The downshifter.
Paloma of sorts.
Okay.
Paloma with an edge.
Nice. Well, I'd love to be able to try the apricot with your pants down. That sounds fun.
The three flavors we have in mind. For potentially next year would be the apricot with your pants down. That's the gin cocktail.
Mm-hmm.
The downshift being a little tequila cocktail, grapefruit, rosemary, kind of Paloma direction.
Nice.
And then the third being the spa water, which is that kind of sugar-free, no artificial sweetener play in like a vodka, cucumber, mint, gimlet type of play.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah.
That sounds interesting.
And I think we need a... You know, an eighth. So there's some stuff percolating, but we'll see how we get there. We'll have to do an R&D session. That could be our next.
Maybe want to try something with hops.
Oh, well, that's not a bad idea.
I mean, hops aren't just for beer, you know.
That's true.
This is the bourbon. I love it.
Yeah.
To you, gentlemen. Good job.
Appreciate you.
Mm. How do people find you?
Great. Yeah. So our website, drinkmechanics.com. There's an interactive map that'll show every location. Right now, we're just in Connecticut.
Okay.
But looking to change that very soon. Hopefully, next spring, summer, we'll be in some neighboring states.
Still staying regional, Northeast.
The map on our website is the easiest way to kind of find the stores closest to you.
Okay.
But like I said, if you have a store that you normally go to that doesn't carry us, ask for Drink Mechanics. They'll bring it in. That's a new account for us.
Yeah. Awesome.
And we are, you know, given our hospitality background, we are definitely committed to trying to get ourselves a tap room, a place that people can actually come visit.
Oh, wow.
We can host them and flex our hospitality muscles that we actually know. So think of a tap room just like a brewery would have, but focused around cocktails on tap instead of beer. Of course, we would have plenty of good beer. There's no shortage of that here in Connecticut.
No, you always have guest beers, yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, you can have an entire, you know, beer program that's entirely Connecticut-based and never run out of styles.
Oh, never, no. You know? So the website is
www.drinkmechanics.com.
And social media?
At Drink Mechanics.
At Drink Mechanics for Facebook, Instagram.
And Instagram,
yep. Okay.
Soon to be TikTok.
Soon to be TikTok? Okay. Well, that's important too, you know, because this is going to appeal to Gen Z, and that's where they're all hanging out. So, awesome. Well, guys, thank you so much for coming back out.
Thanks.
I really appreciate bringing these out.
Happy
they're very tasty. Maybe you might want a Bird Dog Nick, because he'll probably get you into a few more packages.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
You know? Go Nick. Go Nick. But, and please, everyone, go to their social media, give them a follow. Keep an eye on these guys, because I think they're going to be big. A real quick question. How many states are you in? Are you outside? Are you just Connecticut?
Just Connecticut. The one.
Okay, so Nick, go to Massachusetts.
At Cutting Edge Chiropractic, we don't just treat the ailment. We treat the patient. When I injured my shoulder in high school, I was told that I'd be on pain meds for the rest of my life. Determined to find an alternate solution, I sought the care of a chiropractor. The treatment I received was life-changing. With hard work and a short amount of time, my pain improved dramatically. I was determined to change people's lives in the same way. At Cutting Edge Chiropractic, we believe in giving people the knowledge and the tools to take charge of their own health and improve their own lives. At Cutting Edge Chiropractic, you will receive personalized care and attention with experienced professionals and state-of-the-art treatment techniques that include both therapy and lifestyle changes.
Next is the New England Brewing Company's soft opening party. I happen to be the guest of Mando from Mando's Reviews. This was a great time, good beer, great food, and I'm so glad that I got to go. Take a look.
The former Stony Creek Brewery in Brantford, Connecticut is now the home of New England Brewing Company, and I was lucky enough to join my friend Greg Fabry of Mando's Reviews at their soft opening. Out front, you can't miss Nebco's iconic Sea Hagmobile, a mid-70s Ford Ranchero. Inside, the space is stunning with the amazing artwork of Maggie and Steve of Dead Rabbit Design Company. The back patio opens to a beautiful scene of the water, docks, and boats. They welcomed us with some light snacks of chips, salsa, and of course their legendary baby fuzzy ducks. Along the way, I met owner Rob Leonard, Jess from Jess Beer Me, Joey O from Lawson's Famous Liquids, Brandon from Bald Bites, and Michelle from Beers and Bites.
I got Mando with me. Well, actually, I'm with Mando. I'm his plus one here at Nebco, and we're at the old Stony Creek building.
Yep. I'm really, really excited that we got to do a little bit of a rebirth with this building. Absolutely beautiful location. Really, really off the beaten path, but still close to all the cities. That's the best part.
And they kept the integrity of Stony Creek. I mean, you walk in, you're at Stony Creek, but at the same time, that Nebco flair has come in, and it looks like it's been here forever. So it's really cool.
It is.
I can't wait to get some beer, though.
Yeah, we definitely need some.
All right, we're going to go get some beer. We're going to walk around. We're going to talk. Well, first beer at Nebco, Fuzzy Baby Ducks, of course. It's an IPA. It has an ABV of 6.2. And it is a single hop Citra. Let's see what the nose says. Lots of citrus. Pineapple. Some mango. It smells delicious. Let's give it a taste. A little dank at first, but nicely sweet. Yeah, mango. A lot of citrus, a lot of tropical. That's tasty. You know, out of the tap is always best anyway, but this is fantastic. Yeah, you know, I got a friend who he loves this beer, and now I see why. I'll be tipping one back for you.
Well, if you're gonna do baby fuzzy, then you gotta do double fuzzy. this is basically the same exact beer, but it has an ABV of 8.2. Smells quite the same as Baby Fuzzy Ducks. Smells delicious. Let's give it a taste. Oh yeah. It's got a little more of a kick to it. At 8.2, that's kind of my speed. Yeah, I like that. The alcohol is not overwhelming in any way, but it's there. More so than the Baby Fuzzy Duck. So this is a 4.5. This is fantastic.
We got a plain chicken sandwich, nothing crazy. I wanted to keep it simple, but I do have their aioli and some pickles. That chicken is so juicy, it dripped all over my remote. I hope that's going to work. All right. That is the juiciest chicken sandwich ever. Look at that. Very crispy, tender chicken. Flavorful breading. Nice crisp. Retains every bit of moisture, but it's not undercooked. The aioli, it's simple. It's very creamy, but it's not spicy. That's what it looks like. It's just a hint of earthy kick. That is very, very good. It's a basic sandwich, but I like it for a reason. I want to see it simple. That's a 4.5 out of 5. Mm. By the way, this is NEBCO's best beer. It's called Schnitzenbrus. I can barely say it because it's a tongue twister for me. It's one of my most favorites. I've always loved Schnitzenbrus. I'm going to interrupt Bud. Hey, Bud.
Hey, what?
I'm hoping yours can hear me. Can I try your taco?
Yeah, here. Your taco.
I said what I said.
The show is the soft
shrimp tacos. So you have some shrimp down. You have some slaw. Grilled shrimp. A little bit of aioli. Same exact aioli that I had before. Yeah.
I'm going to qualify to rate it, but
I'm going to rate it 4.25. Very spice. Very hearty. That's slaw. There's so much damn flavor in it. It's almost like a jerk shrimp with the amount of flavor that's in it. That is absolutely to die for. I love this. And I hate shrimp with a passion. I'm doing more of the aioli. Wow. God damn. Shrimp tacos are fire. I love them. That is very, very good. Perfectly balanced. It's hot and cold. It's yes and no. It's every single Katy Perry epitome that you can think of.
And the beer is good too.
Can't go wrong. If you're not going to have one bottle, you got to have the other.
Get down to NEBCO and get yourself some beers here. Because let me tell you, this place is hopping now. This is going to be the spot to go to. Great beers, great atmosphere, great location. NEBCO.
Well, that's a wrap for episode 24. Thanks for tuning in. And stick around for more brew reviews, tours, interviews, and homebrewing tips. That and much more right here on Bud's Beer Blurb, the podcast.